What's the empiric treatment for endocarditis?
Empiric for endocarditis? Is it gentamicin and Benkel? Is that right?
Good. That's simple enough for the US Mammalian. That's good. What's the treatment for tinea capitis?
Capitis is like, is it griseal fulvin? Or is it selenium sulfide?
Oral or topical?
It's oral griseal fulvin.
Good. Oral griseal fulvin. They're not going to ask you the mechanism of action on step two. Okay, so what's the treatment for tinea corporis?
For corporis?
Ringworm.
It's still griseal fulvin, isn't it?
It's just topical clotrimazole or miconazole.
Oh, okay.
And you're right, topical terbinafine is for tinea pedis. I've seen topical azoles as an answer, but it was in a question where they did not have terbinafine as an alternative, but it is topical terbinafine for tinea pedis.
Okay.
Oral terbinafine being for onychomycosis.
Okay.
How do you treat malassezia furfur?
Malassezia furfur, you would treat with selenium sulfide.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Topical, good. How do you treat, let's say, scabies?
Topical permethrin, is that right?
Good. And what else do you use permethrin for?
Permethrin, you would also use it for lice, right?
Good. So pediculosis. Excellent. If you have an SVT, supraventricular tachycardia, what's the first thing you can do to abort that?
So would we give adenosine for that?
Before you do that, you can do carotid massage, right?
Okay.
The vagal maneuvers. And then adenosine, yes. And for ventricular tachycardia, you can do amiodarone. You can do, there's different options. It's not so simple, but for this step, you just need to know for SVT, it's carotid massage followed by adenosine. So that's pretty standard, whereas antiarrhythmics can be used for VT. How would SVT versus VT differ on ECG?
That's what I was going to ask you, Rich, but I think it's VT is narrow and SVT is wide. Is that right?
Other way around.
That's why I'm like, literally writing this down the wrong way.
Okay. So SVT is going to be narrow. It's going to be needle-shaped. VT is wide complex.
Okay.
They might say they might tell you like ECG shows wide QRS is like 160 milliseconds. 80 to 120 is normal for the width of the QRS. So if they show you like an ECG strip and you see like a random out of nowhere, just wide complex beat that just looks out of place, that's called an ectopic beat or premature ventricular contraction, PVC. You need to know that you don't treat them.
So if it's just like one random one is what you're seeing?
Yeah, so they're going to show you like an ECG and it's just going to be like a random wide complex beat out of nowhere, just in there. And the answer will be, they'll say, where does this originate from? And the answer will be ventricles. Or how do you treat this condition? Answer is no treatment necessary at this time.
Okay.
If it's symptomatic, it's different. Now, you need to know that you give a pacemaker for third degree heart block and also for Mobitz type 2.
Mobitz type 2, what was the defining features?
Mobitz type 2 is when you have a random drop of the QRS complex, whereas Mobitz 1, Wenke back, is when you had a gradual elongation or prolongation of the PR interval until a QRS eventually drops and then the cycle resets, right?
Yeah, okay.
So Mobitz 2 is the dangerous one. Mobitz 2 is the one that can become a third degree heart block.
Okay.
Transition.
So you said for type 2 and third degree heart block, I do what? I was writing it down too fast.
Pacemaker.
Pacemaker.
External pacing. Okay. What are the vaccines you give at 2, 4, and 6 months?
You can give Rota. You can give TTAP. You can give polio. You can give pneumonia, PCV13. There's one more. And Haemophilus. Is that right?
Okay. So Haemophilus influenza type B, right?
Okay.
TDAP. So tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis.
Uh-huh.
That's two. Rotavirus orally. That's three. Pneumonia. Uh-huh. Strep pneumo. So PCV13. That's four. Polio. Salk, that's intramuscular killed, and then hepatitis B.
Hepatitis B is just at 2 months, is that right?
So look, these guidelines constantly change. I can tell you hepatitis B should be at birth, 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months, but recent guidelines have said maybe you don't give it at 4 months. I've seen that somewhere. The bottom line is that for the USMLE, if they ask you for 2, 4, 6 months, like those are the six you want to think about. When do you give MMR?
12 to 15 months, and 12 months basically, is it 18 months? 15 to 18 months.
So you nailed it. So I was reading earlier actually that newer guidelines are you give it once 12 to 15 months, as you said, and then you give it a second dose, school age 4 to 6.
So second dose would be at school age.
4 to 6. That's what I read actually earlier today, coincidentally. Varicella you can just give once. Now that they can give that as MMRV together at 12 months. Depends regionally. The bottom line is that you can give varicella generally starting at a year to 18 months.
Okay.
When do you start influenza vaccine?
After 6 months.
Great. So you can give the killed intramuscular, you can give the nasal spray, the intranasal live attenuated. Now, the thing is, the killed can be given to anyone over the age of 6 months, including pregnant women, and it's given every year in the fall or winter.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the live attenuated intranasal is only given to non-immunocompromised, non-pregnant persons aged 2 to
49. Okay.
Okay. You have a 37-year-old man. He has a 1-year history of progressive shortness of breath, and he's got a father who died of alcoholic cirrhosis at age 55. He's a non-smoker, but he's got, on his chest x-ray, he has bolus changes and increased lucency.
Bolus changes? Is that emphysema? I actually don't know. I'm actually wildly guessing.
Yes, that's emphysema.
Oh, crap. Okay.
So he's a non-smoker. He's 37. His dad died of alcoholic liver disease at 55.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's alpha 1 antitrypsin, is that right? Or no?
Correct. Nailed it.
Okay.
Alpha 1 antitrypsin deficiency, codominant. You've got a 52-year-old male who's got fatigue for 4 months, and he's got, let's say, a 3-year history of renal disease. And they tell you that his hematocrit is in the 20s percentage, and his mean corpuscular volume is 90. And his transferrin saturation is normal, and his ferritin is normal, but his iron is low.
So he has renal disease, fatigue, and CV's normal, transferrin saturation, ferritin low, iron. Is this anemia of chronic disease?
Nailed it. So okay. You've got a chronic condition like renal disease, you've got a normochromic, normocytic anemia. You're not able to infer normochromic for that, but the bottom line is you've got normocytic anemia in the setting of a chronic disease, right? And your ferritin's normal, your transferrin saturation's normal because your transferrin is decreased.
Mm-hmm.
You got low iron. Good. How do you treat that?
You give EPO.
Good. And that's only for the renal disease as the etiology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whereas if it's due to, let's say, RA or IBD, for instance, what's the treatment?
You treat underlying cause.
Good. Treat underlying cause. Can't give EPO.